Blue Wire.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James. It's over. It's over. Cleveland is a city of champions once again.
The Cleveland Cavaliers select Colin Sexton, Darius Garland.
Here comes Sexton. Some rhythm.
And he got it. Young Ball continues to wear him out.
Welcome to the Chasedown Podcast, part of the Blue Wire Network. I'm your host, Justin Rowe, with my co-host, Carter Rodriguez. Carter, how's it going, buddy?
Well, I just got done watching my favorite team humiliate themselves and a pretty devastating loss, but enough about the Cowboys. The Cavaliers are back. It's our first podcast since the preseason started. Not exactly jumping on at the hypest of times, as the Cavaliers just endured a 50-point drubbing against the Boston Celtics. But, you know,
you can't win them all. The first two preseason games were very encouraging, and then you kind of get this B-squad end-of-bench tryout game. One thing that is encouraging, though, is that a trend from previous years, when Tristan Thompson is not in, the Boston Celtics play well. And even though Al Horford isn't there anymore, the spirit of Al Horford is still alive and well in Boston.
That's a really good spin, Justin. I'm proud of you for getting there.
Proud of me for getting the sentence off or thinking that way?
Across the board. The fact that you tried to turn that into a positive, what happened today, is truly amazing.
It is my brand, like, let's be honest. But no, I'm still in a good mood because we've gone so long without basketball, and now we finally have some things to talk about. As I mentioned before, this was kind of an end of bench tryout. I don't know if you have any impressions about the guys that are kind of fighting for roster spots here. Dean Wade, I think he's looked pretty good. I think Sendarius Thornwell has kind of earned a roster spot. I like his defense, and he showed a little bit in this game. I got to say, though, Jarrell Martin might be one of the most painful basketball players I've ever attempted to watch. I want nothing to do with this guy on the Cavs this season.
Yeah, I mean, I remember when we were talking about this during the regular season, but it's just like you forget how painful end-of-bench guys are on the worst teams in the league.
It's really ugly, man.
Like, and when you're right on the fringe of this team, oof.
The importance of the veterans was very, very clear as the Cavs sacked Kevin Love, Darius Garland, Tristan Thompson.
The veterans.
Yeah, well, I'm counting Garland in there. Look. No, it's really impressed me, and I want to see if you agree with this. I think Tristan Thompson's been the best Cavs player so far through preseason. Like, he's really stood out, and some of that might just be when things are a little ugly and they're figuring things out, Tristan is going to shine in those type of games, but he really does look healthy.
Yeah, I mean, I thought he was good all last season, too, when he was out there, and you know, you can never really tell how much a guy sitting has to do with on a team like the Cavs. Like, you can't really tell the extent to which that is just your good old-fashioned, we're trying to lose on purpose and your knee kind of hurts, so why would we have you out here?
Right.
But, yeah, I honestly think he's looked great. I thought he looked great all last season, too. And, you know, I don't know if anyone's going to try to trade for a guy like that, but I'll certainly be sad to see him go because he's one of the only guys on the team who actually can finish in the pick and roll and kind of knows how to set the screen and window release.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought he's been really, really good. Love, you know, has really barely played.
You can tell he's okay. Still a little bit rusty. And we saw some of that last season as well when he was starting out. I mean, we're really about 6 years removed from him being healthy and playing in this type of a role. So I think there is going to be a bit of an adjustment period there. But I did find it interesting that Chris Fedor had basically said the Cavs have identified their starting lineup. It's what we saw in those first two games, with the exception of one guard spot, which is obviously that one that's kind of up in the air. Brandon Knight started one game there. Dele started another game. And then, again, against Boston, Dele was the starter. And I think that's the spot where, at some point in the very near future, I would assume, Darius Garland is going to be starting in that spot.
Yeah, they've, I mean, his recent injury aside, they've been pretty delicate with Garland's minutes early on. And can I know we just started the podcast, Justin.
Yeah.
But if you can allow me to be a big fucking bummer for a second.
Oh, God.
I had an anxious thought that only comes with liking teams that have not historically worked out that well in a non-LeBron context. But I was just thinking about Garland. He tweaked his ankle, I believe, against the Pistons.
That's correct. Yep.
And I just thought, and I'm not saying this is going to happen or that it's even a rational thought. It's in fact an irrational thought. But I thought, is this going to be like, what if this is the Darius Garland tenure?
Oh, just my like God.
Minor maladies.
If you're going to be sad, do it quicker.
That just scared me. I just got the thought passed through my head and it knocked me on my ass. And then I was like, Carter, you're a fucking dumbass.
You are an asshole. Come on.
No, not an asshole, a dumbass. There's a difference. And it's clearly not mutually
exclusive, though. Let's be honest.
That's fair. You can't rule out both. But yeah, I think that ultimately, like, you look at this guy, like, he did miss all last season. I think that's what spooked me. But you know, he said it himself, like, I've never missed time with injuries before, so it was really hard for me to be gone that long. And obviously they're gonna be careful with him. It's preseason. It was like this, like, only like it was like such a loser thought to pass through my head. I immediately resented myself for having it, because
you should,
because I do want to take this bit of negativity to talk about our early impressions, because unlike Kevin Porter, who, you know, in game one immediately was just out firing.
Right.
But, like, I think Garland's been a little more measured in his play, but I've been very encouraged. What have you seen?
Yeah, I'm really impressed by him. I don't know what it says about the state of our current guards, but when he's out there, I feel most confident about the offense being run properly. He just has a really nice sense of when to shoot, when to pass. And maybe some of that's going to go away in the regular season when he finds his rhythm. He is a score first point guard, but he made some really nice reads in those first two games. Decision-making that we don't really see with any of our guards. A nice lob to Larry Nance. Penetrating easily, getting into the lane and finding open shooters. I've just been really encouraged by him. He seems to have a maturity, and he seems to be just kind of not a pure point guard, but what a modern point guard is in today's NBA. And that to me is encouraging.
Yeah, I've got a little bit of a gripe early on with how Garland's being talked about. We don't really have a lot of data to back this up, but there's like this discussion of, like, because he also has a suspect reputation as a playmaker, that he and Sexton are just equivalent playmakers. And I think that seems, at least from an early on perspective, to not be the case. It feels like Garland has a much, and again, this is not to pit anyone against Sexton, who I think has plenty of potential as a scorer, volume, shot creator, but like, you watch Garland play and it does seem like he has a much better understanding, inherent understanding of space and structure offensively.
No, I completely agree. And they have different strengths and weaknesses, right? Like, I think with Garland, he's probably a stronger shooter. I think his vision's a little bit better than Sexton.
An easier pace. Like, he's kind of like, like, you know, like, I think if Sexton's got if you got a gripe against Sexton early on, it's that he just plays too fast all the time.
Right. And that's something I do like.
Easy going. Like, he's got that thing that certain players have. And I think Kyrie had this to a certain extent as well, which is like the game never feels like it's moving super fast for him.
Right, and if you are going with a two-guard look, it is nice that you do have that variance where Sexton, I think if they're looking to push the ball, if they get a stop or a turnover, the Jets are going to go off. Like, he's going to get up and down the court in a hurry, whereas Garland, I think, can kind of facilitate a little more in the half court and run it. And that was part of the scouting report on him, too, was that his vision is better than the passing numbers indicated or his assist numbers indicated. Yeah. And that's encouraging. And we don't really want them to be the same player. Like, I don't think there's any sense in limiting what Sexton can be. I think he's
sure.
His work ethic has given him the benefit of the doubt. But at this point, I think that the best course of action is to game plan around what their current strengths are. And I really think that that's the approach that the Cavs have with Sexton, where it's, all right, we understand that right now your strength is primarily as a scorer and someone that's going to get to the rim. So we are going to have that second playmaker with you. And I've been impressed with Sexton as well. He had a tough game here against Boston, but I kind of feel like a little bit of an idiot because we talked about the difference him getting stronger would make. And we primarily talked about that as a defensive thing. We really neglected to mention that that's going to help him get to the line. Like, if you look at his free throw rate in college, it was up over 55%, whereas that was cut in half last season with the Cavs, and he was skin and bones. He was not able to draw contact at all. And in that Detroit game especially, they had trouble staying in front of him. He was getting to the rim, he was drawing contact, and he was getting to the line. And you add that with his three-point shot, and I think it's really going to help him have an efficient season this year.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we're just done talking about Darius Garland. Sheesh.
Sorry.
Muscle watch over here. yeah, I mean, Sexton's we talked about this last year. It's if you're going to be a guard that is not an excellent, excellent, excellent playmaker, that means you are going to need to be a very efficient scorer. What does that mean? Means you either have to be a really, really good shooter, or you have to really get to the three, or you really need to be able to get to the free throw line, because those are the most efficient buckets in the game right now. And early on in the season, Sexton was doing neither.
Right.
He was just a steady diet of mid-range shots, whether they went in or not. It was just like, it was so hard for him to get past the, you know, get as many points as shots he took mm-hmm. threshold. You know, like, if you want to look, as much as we don't like him, you look at James Harden, no matter what kind of shots he took, he'll have 17 field goal attempts and 37 points. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of like, that's the dream in terms of efficiency. And we saw Sexton start taking way more threes at the end of last year and continued to hit them at a very high rate, but he still couldn't get to the line. If he's getting to the line, that just kind of changes everything. And it requires defenses to guard him at multiple levels, requires them to be a little bit more careful with how they defend him. Mm-hmm. And it just makes him, I don't know if it expands his game, but it allows him to be better in the role that he's in, that the Cavs need him to be in.
No, I completely agree. And it's not necessarily that I was done talking with Darius Garland. I just feel like a lot of our conversations around both Garland and Sexton are going to be intertwined all year, because how those two grow together is basically the most important storyline of this season. And I do find it interesting that even though they've been staggered somewhat through these preseason games, even when the other one's not out there, they're not the ones bringing up the ball. Beeline has made a point of emphasis that someone else is going to bring up the ball almost every other time. There's been the few kind of breakouts in transition where Sexton will bring it up. But if they're inbounding, they will look at him. He'll be the closest guard, and they will pass it to Dele. They will pass it to Jordan Clarkson. And I think that you can tell that even though they're not playing together yet, they're trying to prepare them for what that role is going to be. And they're trying to get both of them comfortable playing off ball. I'd love for some of the beat guys to kind of pry and really get into the thinking. But from what I can see, that's my best guess on what they're trying to accomplish there with that.
Yeah, I mean, they kind of did this last year for a bit too, where they'd let kind of whoever got the board take the ball up and try to press on the defense, at least early on before everyone's souls were crushed.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, I think both guys are going to have to get comfortable playing off the ball. But I will say, man, with Garland, that kid shoots a really easy jumper. It was really nice to see. I think he's only hit one three. I think he's 1 for 2 in his like 14 total minutes so far this preseason. But man, it just looks so nice coming off his hands. And when you're able to do that in that defense, like the Cavs had exactly zero players who could stretch a defense like that on ball.
I just need to see more of him, man. I would be so sad if there was the type of injury you were referring to earlier, because I need to see a lot more of this guy. He impressed me when he was out there. Like, there's just a confidence that he plays with and the game comes so naturally to him that I just want to see him out there with Kevin Love. I don't know what this season is going to be or what form it's going to take, but I want a good, give me a couple months of them playing together and see what happens. I really need to see that.
Yeah. It's funny. You kind of said that this season would be defined by Garland and Sexton's intermingling. It almost feels to me like if Kevin Love's going to stay on this team, which it seems like right now he's going to.
Right.
I almost care more about the way Garland plays with Love. Like them developing a two-man chemistry, Love making life easier on Garland, Garland learning how to play with a really, really talented big who can do a lot of different things. Them developing a two-man game. That's like the most fun outcome of the season, because I think just based on Sexton's play style, and of course we don't know Garland's play style really yet, but based on Sexton's play style, I just think like Sexton's always going to be a little bit what he is. He'll just be either good or bad in that context. But when I think about Garland and Love, that's why I really like set. I can see like that partnership really blossoming, or I can find it kind of being like a little toothless. And like if we find that blossoming, then I think that's where we're going to get the Cavs being really fun to watch.
Right. And if Garland develops chemistry with Love early on, I think that's also a good sign that he can play off of another high usage player, similar to what Damian Lillard had when he first arrived in Portland with LaMarcus Aldridge. Even if it's not Kevin Love, even if he gets moved down the road, it's still a good thing to know that he is able to play alongside a high usage player that another all-star.
We have so many stars that right now in the league, I mean, guys who we shit on pretty regularly, right? Harden and Westbrook, who no matter who they're playing with, they don't seem to play any different. Right. And I'm just like, even if those guys are amazing, like it always feels like you hit a brick wall. You want guys that seem to be able to play in the context of something larger, or in the context of someone larger. And that's kind of why I want to see how Garland and Love play together.
I think that's a really, really good point, because as much as we want to see Sexland work out, what Sexton does right now is kind of independent, right? Like, he's a go get a bucket. And if his game grows, you'll make adjustments from there. But they're not really going to be playing off of each other a whole lot. I can't anticipate that. That would be really nice, though, if Garland and Love kind of develop that chemistry. And we talked about this on the podcast with Kelsey Russo as well. You got to develop a proof of concept. Like, we have to start – these pieces have to start making sense at some point. And even if it's just, hey, these two players develop chemistry, and then we have a third guy that kind of – we built off of that, whether it be Jetty Osmond cutting off ball or someone else. There, now you have a little bit of a foundation to build off of. You can draft guys that either can replicate what Love does, but fit the timeline along with Garland, or guys that can play off of that.
I couldn't agree more. Something else I want to talk about, if you're okay moving on.
Yeah.
So Beilein's offense is clearly still a work in progress. Yeah. This team is really learning, but you will note ton of threes are going up right now. The Cavs have 5 players right now that are attempting at least 4 threes a game.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, that won't happen as minutes get spread out and things change. But they actually have 7 players that are taking at least 2.5. 8 players. No, 10, because Dean Wade's taking 2.5. Mm-hmm. 10 players taking at least 2.5 threes a game. So they are really getting shots up. They don't really know how to find shots in the offense yet. I'm not seeing it as a cause for concern, but I'm interested to see what you think.
Yeah, you can tell right now the players are thinking about running the offense. Not a whole lot is kind of happening organically. Like it's just not natural or fluid. There has been good movement. They seem willing to move the ball, even though Sexton isn't necessarily making kind of those next level reads. He's swinging the ball. He's letting other guys get touches, which I think is really, really important for him.
You know what I always notice with when a team's learning an offense?
What?
They forget to finish plays. It's like they're so focused on running the set that they forget that the set is designed to open up opportunities that you then attack.
Yeah, like there was one.
Okay, so I go here, I catch it, I screen for this guy. Okay, I caught the ball at the top, so then the next guy will flash up on the elbow. It's like they're not like, oh shit, I have a lane. I'm open. I should shoot.
Yeah, there was one like that against Detroit where they were running stuff, and then they're like, shit, we need to get a shot up. And they just kind of threw it to Love in the post, and I think he scored on that one. But I was like, nothing you did prior to that set up that Love post.
Yeah, score. It was like Ty Lue's old weave play at the top that just never yielded anything.
Yeah, but I think your observation that they are getting up shots is a good one. Obviously,
Garland, it does seem to be the focus.
Yeah, obviously Garland playing more than 14 minutes in 3 games might help the Cavs hit more of those threes.
Plus Jetty, Jesus Christ, a cool 7% from 3.
Yeah, Jetty's in a bit of a slump here the last couple games.
Before we talk about Jetty, I mean, like, just for everyone to have a frame of reference of NBA teams in this preseason, because there's a lot of, random international squads out there. Cavs are 11th in three-point attempts. They're taking 37.3 a game. Only 21 behind the Rockets, who are taking 58 threes a game.
Jesus.
Which is just absurd. But in fairness, like, if you look at last year's regular season, the Cavs only took 29 threes a game. That was good for 24th in the league. You really want to see them up towards the top because, one, it's a little higher variance, which will get them some wins when they get hot. And two, it's just a little – it's this team's skill set much better. I mean, they are stocked with guys who, in theory, should be able to hit some threes.
Yeah, getting those shots up does – it really helps in the winning of games. Yeah, those – shots count for more points than twos, and when you're mostly just taking twos, as the Cavs did a lot of last season, that's really only going to work out if you have a lot of talent, which the Cavs also didn't have. It wasn't the best scene, but I am a little encouraged that they are getting those shots up there, and I hope that that's something that continues as we get to the regular season.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think that this is going to be a really interesting challenge for them to get up to speed, though, because this is fine in the preseason, but if you hit the regular season and it's this ugly where you're having 10, 11 turnover quarters, that stops being so okay and starts getting really, really frustrating really quick. And the worst thing that can happen is, and I don't think this will happen with this team because nobody has the requisite clout, but the worst thing that can happen is they give up. They stop trying to run this offense because they're not executing, and you simplify and just say, okay, we're just going to run high pick and roll.
Yeah. Yeah. And I am a little bit worried that this team just hasn't had a lot of time together with the guys that they're hoping to start, but who knows? Maybe we just need to get to the regular season. And if you were looking to ship an item to the regular season, we got our friends at ShipStation. Yeah, that was listen, I've had a long weekend. It's Thanksgiving weekend. I don't have a good brain today. So you're just going to have to deal with that. But yes, one of our sponsors today is ShipStation. When you're selling online, getting your orders out can be a real pain. It's time consuming and expensive, and there's so many carriers to choose from. How do you know you're making the best choice? That's why you need ShipStation.com. the fastest, easiest, and most affordable way to manage and ship your orders. ShipStation helps you get your orders out quickly, save money on shipping costs, and keep your customers happy. No matter where you're selling, Amazon, Etsy, or your own website, ShipStation brings all of your orders into one simple interface, making them really easy to manage from any device, even your cell phone. ShipStation works with all the major carriers, including the U.S. Postal Service, FedEx, UPS, and even Amazon Fulfillment, so you can compare and choose the best shipping solution for you and your customer. No wonder ShipStation is the number one choice of online sellers. You'll ship more in less time with the best rates available. And right now, Chasedown listeners can try ShipStation for free for 60 days when you use offer code BLUE. There's absolutely no risk. You can start your trial without even entering your credit card information. Just visit ShipStation.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in BLUE. That's ShipStation.com, then enter offer code BLUE. ShipStation.com, make ship happen.
Justin, talking about Jetty Osmond's inauspicious start, it's not easy. Neither is talking about erectile dysfunction. Usually guys just brush it off or blame it on themselves, saying things like, I lost my mojo, or we avoid it altogether, with excuses like, I had a long day at work, or the Cowboys lost to the Jets, who were previously winless. But with Roman, it is easy to talk about it. With a real doctor who can prescribe real medicine. It's simple, safe, and totally discreet, which is really the name of the game. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. The doctor will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, Roman will ship it to you with free two-day shipping. Whole process is straightforward, simple, and again, discreet. Discreet, I couldn't say the word, but that's okay. Roman would forgive me. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/BlueWire and complete an online visit. Erectile dysfunction used to be tough to tackle, but now there's Roman. Complete an online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. I'd just like to note, I bet this was written for football podcast. Tough to tackle. More like tough to defend in the pick and roll. Just go to GetRoman.com/BlueWire to get a free online visit and free two-day shipping. That's GetRoman.com/BlueWire for a free visit to get started. GetRoman.com/BlueWire.
Man, we are not in regular season form when it comes to the ad reads.
I was fine with it. I thought that was a fine... I think it's a disservice to Roman if I don't go off on the same tangents I do for everything else.
You're right. I want to give one free ad read, though, to our friends that do the ad read podcast.
Oh, my God. It is the highest fucking art that you could ever hear.
Just search Bearded Gentleman Music. Carter and I, our bad ad reads have inspired a podcast that is only ad reads, only fake ad reads. And God. Yeah,
the premise is that in lieu of content, all it is a series of ad reads for companies that don't exist. It is the most abstract and strange thing that I've ever loved. It was amazing. It is amazing. And you guys absolutely need at least finish the episode out. I promise we're not going to hold you too much longer. But please subscribe to the Ad Read podcast from our good friend Space Fund Mars.
Yeah, Shout out, Kendon.
Because that shit is nuts.
I really think that is one of our highest accomplishments.
Every now and again, because I think we're both pretty weird dudes and we are pretty,
I would say so.
And we can go on a funny tangent. That's a little off the beaten path, but then you hear stuff like that and you just think oh, I'm not interesting at all. Cause I didn't have that idea. I thought I might be interesting, but I'm not.
Oh, do you find Jetty's little slump here interesting, or is this just some case of it's preseason?
If the Cavs mattered, which I know they don't, But let's pretend there's an alternative world where the Cavs matter.
Okay.
Could you imagine Colin Cowherd going, Jetty Osman, ever since missing those two free throws against Team USA, he's got the yips. He's afraid in big moments.
It would be some version of that, wouldn't it?
He's really got a good spittle going when he's talking at all times. It's like it's like he just like he's just always got a little bit of a wet mouth, and I said that on purpose.
That's an art form, doing a show like that on your own. I can never do that.
Yeah, I just want to talk to whoever built the set, because it's the worst set that's ever been built.
Please go on this tangent. I love this take.
It's my favorite tangent. I'm sure people have listened to it as I have heard it before, because basically we're just recycling material at this point. But the set is, he's like a god looming above his guests, to the point where like they're just getting like, they're just getting cucked as a guest on a show. It's amazing. I want a former president to go on The Herd with Colin Cowherd on FS1. Because the idea of like Barack Obama like craning his head upwards to look at Cowherd on high, caked in 7 pounds of makeup. I mean, the production of that show is just insane. I mean, maybe it's not a bad set, but it's at the least a disrespectful set.
You didn't answer my question. Are you concerned with Jetty?
Oh, no. No. I mean, I feel like last year did a good job of like pouring a little water on our excitement for Jetty. Like, okay, he's mostly going to be a role player. Like, his finishing is just probably never going to be great.
Are you kidding me? Last year got me more encouraged. I thought it was
But that's because you're crazy.
Well, no. Like, from January on, Jetty was good. Like, I thought Jetty would just be a fun story, fun guy to root for. And he established himself as a rotation player, which was all I was really hoping for. I mean, I don't anticipate him being a long-term starter here.
Bullshit. That's exactly what you were hoping for going into the year. Then he was terrible for the first half of the year, like everyone else was. And then he got hot. And you're like, he's great. I think Jetty will always be like, if the jumper is good, he looks so good because he does all these other little things that make you feel really, really good to be rooting for him. Plus, he's just so endearing. Mm-hmm. But like when the jumper is icy, he doesn't look very good. And he's shooting 7%. He's getting up 4.5 threes a game. He's hitting like 0.06. of them, actually just 0.6, but 0.06 is funnier. So like he's looked bad, but like I don't think his jumper's broken, so I'm not worried, because like I think he'll be fine. I think it's a weird year. I think when his jumper has gone in, I've thought, oh, that looked pretty good. So, you know, ultimately I just think Jetty is going to be a guy that we can count on all year to at least be solid as fans. And I guess
he was fine against Argentina. He was not as good against Detroit. I thought he played a good game outside of the shots not going down. And then Boston was just a nightmare. Like Boston was another reminder of when you do not have the vet, really, really bad. And it wouldn't look this bad because a lot of the guys that played like 15 plus minutes tonight aren't going to be on the team. But it's still not a good scene. It really, really isn't. And you need some of those veterans to make this team make any sort of sense.
Yeah. I mean, I to that end, I think Jay's going to be fine. You know, I know it's not a particularly interesting answer, but that's how I feel. So shut up. Like, I just think that he's going to look as good as his jumper is, and it hasn't looked good recently, but that doesn't mean it's not going to look good moving forward.
Yeah, no, I think that's a fair take. What are your thoughts of Kevin Porter Jr.? Because I mean, I could launch into my tangent, but I think we're probably best off if you start first.
You know what, babe? Go ahead and cook. I want to hear what you think first.
So my first impression of KPJ is that he plays better team basketball when there's talent out there. Like I thought he makes good decisions when he's playing alongside Love or Garland or even Sexton. And then when he's with the bench it's almost like he looks around and is like, none of these dudes are as talented as me. And you start to see some of that kind of immature isolation basketball that he's been criticized for in the past. I think he looks like he is already an NBA athlete. Like, that guy is a freak athlete, and we just haven't had a lot of those. So that's really nice. I think he's a confident player. He's done a lot of nice things, but I think it's going to be a lot of hit or miss for him. I think until he really develops some of that consistency offensively, it's going to be a mixed bag and kind of similar to what we've had in the past with Jordan Clarkson.
Yeah, I think that, first off, I don't think the hair works for him.
Oh, I like the hair.
I don't think the hair works. I think it's a little too big and a little too wild. And I think he actually looks really, really young because he's kind of got that skinny frame. I think a more restrained cut would be better for him. I think it's just a little too much. So that's take one. Take two is, boy, he does not like shooting with his right hand or going right or doing anything right-handed at all.
No, he is very anti-right hand. He's 100% a thing.
So if he does have early success, just warning you guys, expect a bit of a rookie wall as teams start to say, nope, you're going to have to use the other hand. And he's going to be really uncomfortable with it to start off, and that's okay. I think you're definitely right. I think he's totally an NBA athlete. I think his feel for the game is a little better than I thought it would be. Like, he's definitely scored off a few cuts that I did not expect, that guys like him don't normally score off of. Because cuts are the thing that's the skill that nobody recognizes as a skill. They just think it's like a work hard type thing.
Mm-hmm. No, being able to move off ball. And that was something I argue with Tristan too.
And knowing when to cut, you know, like knowing exactly, like, because like, I'll say this, like, even when I, like, not that I am an NBA level athlete, but like when I play pickup ball, like, that has never been a strength of mine, is like knowing exactly when the defense falls asleep for you to go get behind him and get a cut baseline. And like so when you see someone who is making those reads and using their athleticism to accomplish that, I think that's a good indicator for IQ. I think the less he's on ball as a lead ball handler, the better.
Yeah. One thing I found really interesting after the Detroit game, I watched some of his college highlights, and you can tell he's already made some changes there. His base is a little bit wider. And on a lot of the corner threes in college, he would kind of, one of his legs, his back leg would kind of cross over. His body was turning. You can tell that the Cavs have already worked with him a fair bit to improve his footwork. His shot has a little bit less of a hitch, although it is still fairly prominent. But you can tell that he's already been somewhat receptive to that kind of stuff. And I do think that he's going to find a little bit more consistency as a shooter by having that sound base. But I think your observation about the right hand is one that a lot of people have made. And that's really going to slow him down as someone that's, if you are counting on him to generate offense for the team, that's going to be a problem. Like, yeah, I can see him scoring for himself, but if you actually want this to be a guy that maybe runs a few offensive sets with the second unit, I don't think he's going to be able to do that until he's kind of rounded out his game offensively.
Yep, and that's fine. Other than that, I think he looks, I mean, he's big, he's tall, but he is very, very skinny. I think any small forward dreams should probably be deferred until next year, because he's just going to get bullied.
I think he can play some just out of necessity. Like,
yeah, I mean, I think he will play there. I think dreams of him being a good small forward.
Oh, yeah. I mean, let's be realistic. None of these guys are old enough to be good, especially on the defensive end. Where I'm just kind of hoping more that the offense makes sense.
Yeah, I think that's fair. But yeah, I mean, I'm as encouraged as you can be from a 30th overall pick. I mean, he's not like lighting it up, but the Cavs are so lost offensively right now that it's kind of hard to imagine a world in which he should look super good. Like, I kind of didn't go into this preseason expecting anyone to be lighting the world on fire. And for the most part, that's been pretty much the case. Like, they've looked kind of ugly. They are, I think they're going to surprise some people based on how they look now, because I think they're going to look much better in a couple weeks. We've already got people on Twitter saying that they're going to be the worst team in the league by at least five games. So fucking yikes.
Yikes, bro.
But, you know, I do think this is a team that's going to get better over the course of the year, as long as Bayline can hold on to the team, because worst case scenario is you lose them, and then we're talking big trouble.
No, I completely agree. And I think we're going to see the what I guess is kind of the final dress rehearsal on Tuesday. I would anticipate them using a bit more of a normal rotation. Bielan has said that he wants to do a 10 to 12 man rotation. I would anticipate that you're going to see Sexton with Jetty, Love, and Tristan. And then who knows? Maybe Garland either earns that spot, or maybe that's something that you're not going to see until you're about a week or so into the regular season. But I think him just not having a lot of time practicing with the team is really factoring in there. But at the same time, the glimpses that we've seen of him out there, he's looked like the best option. And some of that is just, yeah, Delly looks awful, and Brandon Knight has kind of looked okay as a scorer, but not great with anything else.
Yeah, I mean, Delly's just in the middle of reworking his jumper, which is hard, because, like, even though his jumper is not always consistent in its slingshot form, he could have like a couple weeks of it looking good. And when you rework your jumper from the ground up, like he clearly is right now, it's going to look really ugly in the short term. I'm forever going to be higher on Delly than you, just because I think this team needs adults in the room on the floor. Like, yeah, guys who understand how offenses are supposed to work and can go to the right spots, make the right passes, and get you into sets, which is like really an indictment of like the readiness of the rest of the roster to do that stuff, less than a compliment to Delly. But like, he can do that stuff. And I don't really trust Brandon Knight. I've never loved Brandon Knight's feel for the game. And I trust Delly to, it's like a bit of a culture thing where you want to reward guys who work really hard and play exactly the right way, on top of the fact that I just think like the team always feels like they flow a little better with Delly out there, just because he knows how to be an NBA player, even if his skill set is rarely in aligned with his effort level.
Yeah. I just want to see the passes a little more on target. He's thrown a couple of those lobs to Tristan that are just kind of a little bit of an overthrow, and he just hasn't been as sharp as he has been in the past. But again, that could be just preseason.
Can I posit a theory as to why you're aggressively hard on Delly?
What's that?
Because so many dumb people try to say he was better than Kyrie.
Oh my God, Carter, what a fresh... You joked about us recycling shit before. Good Lord, did you dig? You went way back for that one, eh?
I think that's why you don't like him.
I think I've moved past that,
Carter. I don't think you move past anything, Justin. You're a petty motherfucker, and you know it.
I am relentlessly petty, what can I say?
And some of that bleeds into your subconscious. You know, maybe it does.
It's certainly
possible. Plus, you hate people on Twitter. That's another thing.
I do hate a lot of people. I think that's fairly.
You've been very healthy recently, though. You've been pruning that timeline, and I'm proud of you.
Oh yeah, there's been some good pruning going on, but looking to get in shape for the regular season. We will have another podcast. We'll record after Tuesday's dress rehearsal. That's the last preseason game, right? I'm not missing any.
Who's to say?
Who's to say? It sounds like
I'm not a doctor. I will say, Justin, we're going to have a late one that night. We're going for a little birthday dinner for your boy.
Oh, shit. Look at you go.
Mm-hmm. Well, So start thinking about what you're going to get me.
Well, you didn't wish me a happy Thanksgiving, so I'm not going to wish you a happy birthday. That is the last Cavs preseason game. Their second leg of this back-to-back against Boston. Hopefully they look a little bit better. Hopefully we get to see Sexland starting with Jetty, Love, and Tristan. That would be a lot of fun. But we will have our reactions to that game on Tuesday. We are back to 2 days a week. I think the following week we'll probably do Sunday and Wednesday just so that we can get that first Cavs game of the regular season covered with
what
the podcast.
What is the first game of the year?
That is the Wednesday. I think that's the 23rd.
Okay, I can probably do that one. I'm going out of town the next week.
Oh, well, there you go.
I suddenly got very nervous that I was going to miss the first fucking game of the season. I was going to be so bummed.
A very quality show meeting on podcast. I'm glad that we did that.
Listen, anyone who's here now, they're with us. They're okay with this, I think.
And we appreciate that support. Remember, if you want to support the podcast, the best way to do so is by leaving a rating, leave a review, subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, and help cook those books. If you want to be part of our exclusive Discord chat, you can send a screenshot of your review to chasedownpod@gmail.com. We'd be more than happy to send a link to you there. So we're excited to get this going. The regular season is just around the corner. And I can't wait. I think this is going to be better than those haters that say that this is easily the worst team in the league. So thanks again to our listeners. Thanks to Carter. And until next time, go Cavs.